Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay from the Straightwise Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hosts, Miss D. Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening to all of you, and I just want to let you know that we do have a call-in number. In case you have any comments, so please get your pencils ready. It's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again, 646-716-4893. And if you would like to talk to us during the show by email, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, @aol.com, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce my co-hostess, Misty Hall. Hi, Misty.
Hello. How are you tonight, Bonnie?
I'm a little frazzled, but doing okay. I'm glad this worked because my earlier show at 7 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio, was really down. So, I'm glad we're able to get this show rolling tonight.
Wonderful. Right.
I don't know if it's because of all the storms. How about where you are, Misty? Are there storms?
Yes, we rain, storm. It's been raining all day and storms. I think it's everywhere. If we certainly have some in Kentucky today, we certainly do.
I know. I think that, you know, people throughout the East Coast, certainly we're having terrible storms. We're still having them here.
So
hopefully we'll be able to stay on. Hopefully.
Well, we'll do our best.
How has your week been? Good?
I've had a wonderful weekend enjoying where I'm enjoying reconnecting to the roots of where I'm from with friends, family, and all that good stuff, and living a wonderful life. Living a uncomplicated, wonderful life. Now, how great is that?
Well, I think we need to throw in a little bit about the romance, too, Misty.
Well, yeah, a little bit of a romance going on. Very good romance going on. And, you know, I just have to say, compared to my past history, romance, day, you know, being with a gay man and married to a gay man, of just how complicated things can be and how chaotic things can be, and compared to a healthy relationship, being a straight woman with another healthy, straight person, man involved, you know, things can just be so uncomplicated. And trust me when I say there's something to appreciate is, uncomplication. You know, things do not have, as you say, Bonnie, things don't have to be that complicated. And it really doesn't. They really don't. Things don't have to be so complicated.
I know. It's really sad because, you know, I think about women who go through the struggling and the suffering, and, you know, they feel so stuck in these situations and these relationships. And they know something's wrong, and even if their husbands don't admit that they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a real big problem, that there's so many men who will never tell the truth. Or, you know, several women in our support chat tonight, they were saying, well, my husband said he's gay, but he wasn't gay for the first 20 years of our marriage. And it was because of all the problems that we had that he became gay. I mean, they're giving us explanations. You know, these are the explanations the guys are giving. And it just really makes me sick for women to have to sit and personalize that they had anything to do with this. And I think this is an issue that I really want to clarify tonight, because women need to know that, you know, it's true they say there are two sides to every marriage, that, you know, there's two parties, say, two to make a marriage. And I'm not saying no, but I'm saying in this particular case, it has nothing to do with it takes two. It only takes one, and the one is the gay husband. And I say that because these gay men are trying their best to be straight. You know, they're pretending every day. They think they're pulling it off. You know, they're trying to pass as straight men. And so you think that the things that they're doing in the marriage are, you know, straight, but they're not. They don't know how to be straight because they can't be straight. So whatever thoughts that they're telling you or whatever things are wrong, it's pretty much distorted information based on their needs and what they want as far as having a straight, you know, marriage. And it would be like me pretending that I'm a lesbian because, you know, let's say that's the way life was going and you had to be a lesbian. I mean, maybe I could pretend, but I don't know how a lesbian thinks. I don't know their inside and outside and how they're working or what their thought patterns are. And maybe I could pass in certain ways and use certain phrases and people might think, you know, oh, she's a lesbian. But the reality is I don't know how to be a lesbian. And I don't think I could learn how to be a lesbian because it's more than just a sexual need. It's who you are as a person, and I'm not that person. So that's why these men, they may think that they can act like they're straight, but they're just putting on an act, and they don't even know how straight men are. And I'll give you, like, an example. I know somebody who is posing as straight, but he's not married. You know, he just doesn't want to come out to anybody. But, you know, it's very obvious. He's a friend of mine. And, you know, like I said, we've known each other a number of years, but he just doesn't want to come out because he's afraid of the social pressures. He was brought up in a strongly religious family, but he never married. And, you know, he hangs around gay people and doesn't think, like, that's unusual. But he always tells gay jokes, not in front of me, but in front of my other friends, you know, men friends. And he talks about gay all the time, and then he talks about sex all the time and how much he'd like to get into this woman's pants. But he talks a lot about gay, and what he doesn't understand is that straight men don't talk like that. You know, some gay men are just trying to be straight, and they think, oh, well, this is what straight men talk about all the time. Well, they don't. You know, I don't know too many straight men who really have just all these gay conversations about gay people.
Right.
So even though he's really trying and he's trying to pull it off, he doesn't really understand how a straight person is because he's not straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my whole point. In these marriages, these guys are pretending. And I can appreciate the fact that, you know, they're trying to be somebody who they're not. But the fact is that they can't pull it off forever, you know, so what they do is, in order to delay suspicion or to, you know, deter the suspicion, what they do is they start torturing their wives. And they'll start, you know, knocking them, taking away their confidence, blaming them for the things that are going wrong. And I find that happening so much. And my heart goes out to our women because so many of them who can't get the truth or only get half truth and half lies or who the husbands try to make them think that they're crazy, you know, they go through this mental anguish, and why? I don't get it. Why do these wonderful women have to sit there and suffer like this? Because they're living with a liar who can't be honest about himself. Mm-hmm. And here they go into a marriage with someone who promises to love and cherish them. And do these men love and cherish them? Because they're sitting there and telling them that, you know, it's their fault, there's problems in the marriage, or they're not pretty enough or thin enough. Or they're not loving enough or supportive enough, or they're too demanding sexually, and all they think about is sex, you know, trying to make them feel demeaned and not wanting to ask for it. And this is the person you promised to love and cherish, and this is the kind of love and cherishment, you know, women are getting. How do you feel about that, Misty?
Wow.
Because I feel angry.
Yes, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is this. There's so many myths out there about people being gay and lesbian to start with, you know, and that's obstacles that gay and lesbians have to face and confront every day, you know, to try to prove themselves to others. And it's really sad. It's so sad, the obstacles that they run up against. And then you have the people that, you know, the gay husbands that marry the straight wives wanting to be, you know, straight and wanting to, you know, wanting those things and those rights and those, I guess, the recognition and to fit into society in a way that straight people can, to try to pretend and play that off to be someone they're not. And when they do that, they just sort of, you know, perpetuate the myths that go around in our culture and our society, especially when they, you know, start like the homosexual jokes and they, you know, they talk about the gay things and just sort of play it up. I mean, it's just... it's almost very distasteful on their part, I guess. And I guess they use it as a deflection, hoping that it's going to deflect away from them and say, hey, you know, people don't think I'm straight, which is very sad. But But the unfortunate part is it just continues to, you know, perpetuate that cycle of myth in our society, in our culture, of how people perceive and look at gay and lesbian people. It's just really sad. And it's always sad when you have to pretend to be someone else that you're not.
I know, but, you know, when you think about it, Misty, you know, because now you're in a relationship with a straight man, what I just don't understand is, do men really think that, you know, they're trying to be straight, they're trying to pretend they're straight, but do they really think that straight men don't have sex with their wives? I mean, like, what are they thinking? They think they can pull off things straight just because they say, I do, and then when it comes to sex, they say, I don't?
That's part of the complication. That's where you'll see such a difference in, you know, how you say relationships just don't have to be that complicated, and they don't, because you're right, straight men, they do want sex with their partner. They do, I mean, they look forward to that, they want that. You know, in a healthy relationship, there should be a healthy sexual relationship as well. And when you look at being married to a gay person and a straight person, I mean, it just doesn't work.
It irritates me, because I think that every day that a woman loses being married to a gay man, she's losing a piece of herself.
Absolutely.
And especially when they torture you and they make you believe that everything happening is your fault, or that mm-hmm. you're the one who's too demanding, or you're the one that doesn't see things right. And they start fights and they start arguments.
About.
Mm-hmm. And they isolate you. And a lot of our women, you know, are isolated because these, and I think you can talk about that, right?
Absolutely. Isolation is such a key component to the relationship I was in, because my relationship, in addition to him being gay, there was abusive tones to it. And I always like to clarify, because he was gay does not mean that he was abusive, that I just happened to get both in a package. And it was his first step. Of course, we moved away because where we were from in the hills of eastern Kentucky, it was very limited how we could further our education. Both of us wanted to further our education, so we moved to a larger town. So that was a given easy way to isolate us, and I willingly participated in that because I wanted to continue my college education. And but as I moved away, it was easier to take me away from other people that I love. And isolation is such an enemy when you're dealing with this. And so many of the women I work with, it follows the same step. You know, many of the gay straight marriages, that's a huge component to this, because oftentimes gay husband does not necessarily want their straight wife to socialize that often with other people sometimes. I guess because, and I don't know why that is. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know,
I think it's because they're afraid their secret's going to come out, Misty.
Yeah, that's what
I'm really convinced that by mm-hmm. isolating you and by telling you, you know, by having everybody not come near you, that they're so afraid that their secret's going to come out. And a lot of women
are
just shut down.
Mm-hmm. It takes so much energy for that person to protect that secret. You know, how much energy goes into that in a day? To protect that secret. And, of course, all the frustration and the fallout from that, the straight wife is going to catch, you know, and it's horrible. And that's where all the complication arises, not all of it, but a large majority of it is, it's just around that protection of that secret, whatever that mate has to do to protect the secret, to appear to be straight in a straight world. It's just very sad. The complication just arises from that. And truly, a relationship does not have to be that complicated. There will be things you have to work through in any relationship. We all know that. You know, a relationship is just not a paved golden path full of roses and peaches and cream and everything's wonderful. You know, there are compromises. There are always compromises in a relationship. But when you look at a gay, straight relationship, and you know, in that marriage, it's just complication to the exponential power of 1,000. I mean, it's just so complicated.
Well,
you know,
the complications that you can't resolve, and, you know.
Yeah, right.
I have to be honest with you. I know women who are going to stay in these marriages, and I feel they're giving up their lives,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I just feel that you give yourself away the longer you stay in these marriages and look for excuses to stay in them, you know, or as long as you feel guilty about leaving it, or as long as you have to keep doubting yourself. You know, I know that financially it is really difficult for a lot of women to walk away. I don't negate, you know, how important that is, that you have to be at least have some kind of financial security. But, you know, it can't be the holding factor of why you stay in a destructive relationship. And I often tell my story, and it's the truth. You know, when my ex and I broke up, I had nothing but, you know, GED. I had just gotten my GED like 2 years before that. I had two babies, including a chronically ill, you know, son who unfortunately passed away a few years ago at 23. But my point is that I went on welfare for 3 years because I had no sense of support. I was emotionally beaten down to the ground. I had to take care of two little babies, a chronically ill son. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a phone. You know, I had no money. I was left with nothing. And yet, the only thing I had that I hadn't had before was I had peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't feel like I was walking on those eggshells anymore. That I didn't have to go to sleep crying at night because I felt neglected or I felt unworthy. And I tell women that, you know, you can always live in a room instead of a house. I mean, women fight to keep their homes. I'll never understand it, Misty. You know, maybe it's me. But it's a piece of structure. It doesn't mean anything compared to your happiness.
You know, material things, you can always find a way to get back some way. You really can. I truly believe that. But peace of mind, a good life, a beautiful life, is not something you can buy. You have to learn how to find that and live that and discover that with whom you are and what. And you have to find things around you, what's bringing you down, what's bringing you up. And of course, in my own past life, it was my ex-husband. It was horrible. So I had to get that out of my life. It's not worth material things. And material things are nice. I'm not saying that. And yes, you have to plan. You have to plan to exit these relationships and to better yourself in some way. But, you know, you can replace those things. You can't replace your peace of mind and going to bed at night and say, well, I had a good day today. You know, you can't replace things like that.
And I know it's really difficult for women who have good marriages because not all of us have destructive marriages.
Exactly.
You know, the ones who have good marriages, it's even harder because they think they've had a wonderful life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they have to start wondering how much of it was real, how much of it was based on a lie, how lonely they're going to be because they really counted on their husbands. And, you know, they really thought they had a good marriage other than the fact they didn't have sex. But they thought, you know, well, a lot of people don't have sex. Or they thought that, you know, maybe their husbands have some kind of problem or some kind of sickness. You know, because these guys, you know, have excellent ways of making up why they can't have sex with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they accept that, but, you know, these guys are like their best friends. So they can go through years, and all of a sudden when the man comes to terms with who he is and he wants to leave, you know, these women are really devastated also. I mean, it's devastation in different ways.
Right.
And then you have the men who go out and get married again, which really, you know, confuses the women even more. And
mm-hmm.
I would like to mention to women that, you know, if your ex-husband is one of the ones who went and got married again, this is very common. I would say about 30 to 40% of gay men who will not admit they're gay will get married again because they are so tied up in that friggin' limbo world. You know,
mm-hmm.
they cannot accept the fact that they're gay. They'll say they're straight with issues. And they remarry again, and they usually marry somebody younger who's less experienced, mm-hmm. who won't notice that anything's really wrong until, you know, they're in that marriage for a few years. And I just feel so bad because, you know, the whole thing's so messed up. I don't really get it. You know, you have a husband who's gay. Now he's going out and marrying somebody else and having another baby with somebody else so that she can live the same miserable life that you're living. I always tell women, you know, if you don't feel that you can tell that next spouse coming up, you just let me know and I'll be happy to let her know. I'll send her one of my books so she can have it there for her. And even if she doesn't want to believe it, at least when things start going amok, she'll know why. You know, a lot of times women, you know, will say, well, if I tell her, she won't believe me anyway. And guess what? A lot of women wouldn't. Because they don't want to believe it either. I mean, who wants to believe that their fiancé or the man they're going to marry is gay? And as soon as they would say anything to their future husbands, who are our ex-husbands, all of a sudden, like, these guys are looking for sex like crazy to prove that they're straight. So a lot of them like to try to throw you off, and so you get fooled by it, and, you know, you think that the ex-wife is just angry or bitter. And that's why, you know, she's making up these stories about his homosexuality. But at least, you know, if you have the knowledge in time, when things start going, you know, downhill, that woman will know why, that it has nothing to do with anything except the fact he's a homosexual man pretending to be in a straight marriage. And I really think it's criminal, I'll be honest with you. I mean, if you do it once, okay, you made a mistake. But going out and marrying again, I really think that should be a crime. I really do. When you know you're gay and you marry a straight woman, you know, your second marriage to a straight woman, then I think that really should be, you know, something you can charge someone with, even in a civil case. Do you agree with that?
I think it's tragic. It's absolutely tragic when that happens. And, you know, I'd say your assessment's pretty accurate of how often it occurs. I think people are unaware of how often this does happen. And, you know, when I started working with straight wives, I became more aware. I knew it was common, but I became more aware of it. And it's just, it's tragic. It's a tragic situation. And I can understand when people are gay or lesbian, they don't come out of the closet to everyone because, you know, that truly is their personal business. But now when you enter into a relationship with someone, you're hiding who you are. You know, we're dealing with completely different issues here. You know, if you want to hide from the world who you are because they'll judge you, you know, in terms of your job, your career, and things like that, you know, or your family disowning you, not speaking to you, that's completely different. But now when you choose a partner for life to marry and you hide who you are, that's a whole nother ball game. And if you do it once, you know, I can understand because even the relationship I was in, I truly believe that my ex-husband loved me as much as he could love me and tried to do his best. I truly think he thought, you know what, I don't want to be gay. I'm going to try to do this straight thing. I think he tried hard to fight that, and it you can't win that battle. You know, it's okay for him to be who he is. It was just he and I were not cut out for a marriage, and. As far as I know, I don't think he has remarried a woman, but it does happen often. And when that happens, in my opinion, that's just tragedy. That's tragic. It's
tragedy. That's criminal. You know, when you I'll give you benefit of doubt the first time. Maybe you couldn't come to terms with who you are, but once you're out there and you're cheating with men, you know who you are. You're gay, and you don't have the right to do this to a second woman. To me, like I say, it should really be a criminal act. And, you know, I guess my mistake is going to our chat room before I come here and get so angry.
I know.
So many women
are
suffering for no reason. These are wonderful, loving, caring women. And, you know, all they've done is try to be a wonderful wife. And they've had
usually
their lives
they care too much.
Inside
they care
out.
Too much.
And I can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to forgive this because, you know, people make
the hurt runs so deep. I don't think people realize how deep the hurt runs. I mean, there's different types, and in my opinion as a professional therapist, there's different types of wounds, like, you know, the human spirit can encounter, or the body, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, when you encounter this type of marriage, it just goes to such the core level of who you are. And it's a huge wound. It is. It's just horrible for everyone involved. And I don't think people understand the depth. The wound of a straight person marrying a gay man, you know, what that does, what that creates. And not that gay is bad. I'm not saying that at all. We've never said that. It's just when you bring the two together and try to become a straight marriage and a relationship, it's disaster. And the wound runs very deep because one person is truly hiding who they are. And they're trying to
I'm
live
blaming
a different
you
life.
For the misfortunes in your marriage. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say anybody's name specifically, but I had lunch with, you know, some man who I really respect, who's really influenced a lot of my thinking in this whole situation. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, when he was married, you know, many years ago. And he said definitely, you know, he screwed up a lot of things. He said, but, you know, there were problems besides this in the marriage. And I said to him, well, what does that mean exactly? You know, what other kinds of problems could there be in the marriage? He said, well, my ex-wife, she was very critical. Okay. So, I mean, is it possible she was critical because she wasn't having her needs met? I mean, is it possible she felt, you know, the sexual rejection, so that's why she was being critical? Is it possible because you didn't give her the emotional support that she needed because you were too busy thinking about men that, you know, she was frustrated and didn't know how to react? You know, so I think a lot of times the way we react is just out of frustration of the situation we're living in because we don't understand what's wrong because we're doing everything right and yet nothing is working. And that's how I feel. And if anybody would like to comment on that, please feel free to call us. We're at area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that call-in number, 646-716-4893. But my heart goes out to our women who really have their lives hammered away, and I really feel that if you don't really know you're gay before you get married or you're trying to make it so you're not gay, I can forgive that to a point, but there comes the day when you have to face the music. As I tell all of our men, you have to be honest. You have to give your wives the emotional support, the financial support that you deserve to give them because this isn't their fault. And that's why it just really upsets me when women have to spend thousands of dollars in legal fees fighting their husbands, you know, in court. Why should they have to spend one penny? I mean, I don't get it. It wasn't their fault that, you know, they married a man under false pretenses. If anything, the man should pick up all the expenses for the divorce, no matter how good a man he is. I don't care. He's a gay man. He didn't belong in the marriage. And the marriage is ending because he's gay. So why should a woman have to pay anything for that?
Do
you agree, Misty?
Absolutely. I agree because it's such a, you know, such a tragedy to go through and to process and to try to come to grips with it. And it's such an insult to injury when it comes time, you know, if you choose divorce, what else you have to go through, not just the emotional mess, but the financial mess. And it's tragic. It's a tragic situation.
And I really, you know, feel so bad when women feel so stuck that they can't do anything. I really do. You know, I have women who feel, well, if I leave the marriage, I'm going to be alone. Well, guess what? You're alone now. I mean, you know, if you're part of my support network, you're not coming here because you're happy. You're coming here because you're sad, because you're unhappy with the way your marriage is going, because you're married to a gay man. So I can't, you know, deal with the fact that women are looking for reasons why they have to stay in this horrible situation because they don't want to be alone. Well,
you know,
I don't get it. Like, if you have a gay husband, don't you feel like you're alone? You're not having sex with him. He's not making love to you. And I think that, you know, Misty, you'll agree with me, you're a lot younger than I am. You know, I'm now almost a senior citizen, or in some places I am a senior citizen. But damn it, I mean, I'm with my boyfriend. Today is our 18-year, 7-month anniversary. And, you know, over 60 years old, and I'm still having wonderful, you know, sexual experiences every week with him.
Still in love. You're still in love with him.
I am still in love. And maybe,
absolutely.
You know,
that's,
I'm not the only one.
To
I mean, there are other women who feel the same way. But, you know, he makes me feel so special every day. And I'm not saying that, you know, everything is him, but, you know, he is, my, you know, a major source of my happiness, my self-esteem, feeling good about myself, having a great sex life after close to 20 years, you know, being an older person and, you know, feeling those kind of feelings that inspire you. When you wake up in the morning, you're happy. When you go to bed at night, you're happy. And you don't have to wonder, is he going to touch me? How do I manipulate it? How do I have to dress? How do I have to change my body? I mean, I don't have those issues. I mean, he loves me just the way I am, way overweight. And he doesn't care. He just says, more of you to love. I mean, a straight man wants to touch a straight, you know, to touch a woman. He doesn't want to think about a penis or, you know, in the chat room tonight when, you know, some of our women were talking about, well, my husband said he never did anything except, you know, touch some guy's penises, but no other sexual action. Guess what? That is sexual action. straight men don't touch the penises of other men. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Straight men would be, you know, really horrified to have to even think like that. You know, so why do we have to keep questioning, is he gay, is he gay? If he's watching gay porno, he is gay. Straight men do not watch gay porno. I mean, if he's looking at, you know, all these different lines online, Manhunt, Silver Daddies, you know, Teddy Bears, any of these, Sugar Daddies, he's not straight. He's gay. Straight men don't look at these sites. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. They sort of cringe when they even hear about it. Or, you know, and not that, you know, not even someone that bashes people being gay. You know, someone that's very okay with having gay friends in their life. You know, having a circle of friends that include straight and gay people and lesbians. I mean, they do not, and I'm speaking of someone that, you know, very accepting of other people. As a straight person, you know, the straight men I know, they absolutely don't. No, they don't watch gay porn. That's not something on their to-do list or their wish list or their fantasy list. They just don't do that.
They don't go to gay bars, and they don't go with their gay friends to gay bars because they're not comfortable in a gay bar. Even if you know, they're friendly with someone who's gay because they grew up with him or they work with him, they don't want to go to his gay hangouts. I mean, they really don't. They're not comfortable in that environment because straight men are not comfortable in gay environments. So when, you know, when you see your husband hanging out with gay friends in gay bars, that's definitely a sign he is gay. And I'm telling you, straight men aren't fantasizing about the penises of other men. They're fantasizing about the breasts of their women
mm-hmm.
or other parts. I mean, that's what turns on a straight man. But I think our women lose perspective because these men lie so well, and they make you start thinking, well, all men do this, and this is the normal way, and everybody's curious, everybody has fantasies. And there's nothing wrong with having fantasies. It doesn't mean you're acting on it. Well, guess what? I don't want my husband or my boyfriend fantasizing about men. I don't understand where that really is an issue. What about you?
You know, absolutely not. I try to be a very open-minded person. And if I was dating someone that told me that they fantasize a lot about being with men, that would really scare me in the relationship. That would put up a huge red flag and... I would not be comfortable with that as a straight person.
Women need to be really, you know, once again, so careful about the men that they hook up with. And, you know, they really have to get to know them. You know, it's like I have a friend, I mention her from time to time, and she just got involved meeting a new guy. And I said to her, you have to really check him out. You know, you don't know who he is. You don't know what his life has been. And there are so many guys out there who are really game players. And I said to her, ask him for ID. And she said, how can I do that? I said, how can you not do that? I mean, you don't even know who he is. I mean, is there something wrong with asking somebody to see their driver's license? Because I got screwed up with that when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I started dating again, I really fell for this guy. And I really liked him a lot. It was the first guy who I really had feelings for in many years after my marriage. And things weren't really adding up, you know, but, okay, you know, you want to believe. But when he was sleeping one night, I went to his wallet, and I saw his identification, and it wasn't him. And I was, you know, very upset at that point. You know, so there are so many guys out there who just play games, and you have to really get to know what these games are, especially if you haven't been out there for a long time. You know, a lot of our women who have been in these marriages, you know, when they first start going out again, you know, they don't know what to expect. They haven't been in the dating scene for 15, 20, 25 years, and they don't understand how it's really changed so much. And sometimes we're so vulnerable and so needy as far as having somebody who cares about us that we jump into the arms of the first guy who makes us feel good again or complete, and
mm-hmm.
we don't ask the right questions. And, I mean, that just doesn't happen with women married to gay men. That's women married to any kind of man. You know, we're just so willing to want to believe that, you know, somebody's going to be good to us and be our Prince Charming, that we forget to think with our heads. And right again, we're back making the same mistakes of thinking with our heart.
Right. And that's so devastating. because like we bring up so often, especially I bring up often, being a marriage and family therapist, you know, we tend to repeat patterns. And that's a perfect example of, you know, we can be so starved for any attention or sex, you know, from a relationship. And you get a little bit of that attention or have a little bit of a sexual relationship with a new partner. You know, I see so many women so willing to put up with so many different horrible things out of, you know, a straight man. I mean, they're not all angels out there. You have to be careful. You really do. There are people, there's definitely a lot of men out there, straight men with issues too, you know, right, relationship issues. So you have to be so careful when picking and choosing. That's why it's so important to make sure that you've healed yourself, that you respect yourself enough. If it's not the right person, it's not easy, but you have to, you know, just, you know, step back from the relationship, pull yourself back. It's not easy.
Right,
and
you can't go into the relationship with the attitude, well, we all have faults. You know, there is no perfect man. Okay, well, maybe there's not, but there's men who are certainly better than others. And that's
mm-hmm.
why in the new book, you know, that I just re-released, Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men, you know, I have all different kinds of dysfunctional men in there that has nothing to do with gay. But, you know, there's so many horrible aspects to so many men. And one of them that is not totally, you know, we all think if we had gay husbands that we think that a lot of times it's just our gay husbands. But the truth is there are, like, many men who are straight who are also narcissists. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that also because, you know, there's a wonderful website. If any of you want it, you can email me at bondk@aol.com. And one of our, you know, members, Grace, had forwarded me this website written by Melanie Tanya Evans, who lives in Australia, and I actually had been in touch with her last year. I was hoping she could be a guest on our show, but I guess, you know, it's just not working out because of the distance. But she has a really great website I'll be happy to send anyone who requested on narcissism. And it says here, I'll just read it to you a little bit. It says, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the personality disorder that destroys relationships, families, and lives. And it says, what is narcissism? Narcissism is an unhealthy focus on self that affects others in unhealthy ways. Everyone to some extent is narcissistic. Most people want the good stuff, and from a psychological point of view, everything we do is for some emotional payoff in order to feel better about ourselves and our life. The definitive quality of healthy narcissism is obtain self-gratifying results in ways that don't damage other people, whereas unhealthy narcissism works from the mindset, I win and I don't care if you lose, or your loss is my win. Narcissism is self-absorption coupled with destructive behavior and a worldwide epidemic. Internet searches for narcissism is literally exploding, thus more people are discovering, researching, and asking questions about narcissism. There is a desperate need for this information. It says, narcissistic personality disorder is a cluster B mental disorder and is categorized in this cluster alongside others such as histrionic disorder and borderline personality, just to name a couple. Narcissism is known to be a construction of false self, and therefore or the individual will exhibit behavior that is pathological, not real in nature. I believe any individual who is not comfortable within their own skin, therefore disconnected from their inner peace, can develop narcissistic characteristics. So then she wrote, how do I deal with inner pain and emotional insecurity? External factors such as race, class, income status, or religion place no importance as to whether or not an individual will be narcissistic. It is an inner self issue. There are three broad types of people living with inner pain and emotional insecurity, which applies to the greater community. First, the ones that wear a mask, suffer in silence, and don't want to burden others. Next, the ones that wear a mask and steal energy from the world to feel better. And three, the ones that take off the mask, take responsibility for their emotions, work on themselves, and improve life from the inside out. No one is perfect, and this is totally understandable. However, the damage of narcissism is extremely evident. I am astounded by how many women I meet and know who are in or had relationships with men who are atypically narcissistic. Please don't mistake me for a feminist. There are also many females who are insecure, creating a mask and manipulating people to their detriment for their own self-benefit. However, two essential facts stand out. Genetically, men tend to act out jealously, insecurities, and vengeance more violently than most women. And women will tend to act more codependently and hang on to their dysfunctional partners, regardless of the damage, longer than most men. Statistically, women are at a greater risk than men for narcissistic abuse. Essentially, women who are more inclined to be the caretakers and empaths of society will tolerate and hang on to narcissistic relationships more than men will. Women tend to be fixers and can feel compelled to sort out issues, whereas the average man is not particularly compelled to fix a woman who constantly demands attention and acts in childish, aggressive, and immature ways. Women are also biologically and genetically engineered to have a focus on the one and will try to make painful relationships work, whereas men have a greater capacity to think in terms of there are plenty more opportunities available. The statistics of narcissism, it says there's no firm statistic available to the frequency of narcissistic personalities. Psychologists state that 1% of the population is diagnosed with this, and 75% of the cases in therapy are men. This 1% statistic is gathered only from individuals diagnosed in therapy. Most narcissists aren't in therapy, and even if they are, may not be diagnosed with it. Psychologists freely admit this, as well as the frustration and impossibility of working effectively with people who have narcissism. By definition, narcissists severely lack humility and will avoid admitting there's something wrong with them at all costs. Most narcissists in therapy are forced there by the courts or have arrived for other reasons, such as alcoholism and divorce. They usually don't show up with the deal with the narcissistic behavior. If narcissism is confronted, most narcissists will discredit the therapy and leave. The remaining ones will only do a few sessions at most. I estimate that up to 16% of society is severely narcissistic. This is one in about every six people. I believe this is a much more accurate assessment. What is frightening is narcissists are extremely emotionally insecure, despite their outer charisma, and seek love partners. As per my alert to women, male narcissists are more successful in hooking and retaining their relationships, therefore creating psychological damage, at the very least, to women. When you read on, you'll understand how this is achieved. I believe the root of domestic violence is narcissism. And until society as a whole understands and heals this malignancy, every part of our world suffers. What takes place in the world starts within the home. It says the real cause of narcissism. Why has narcissism permeated our world? Because we have not evolved as a society to understand the necessity to create an authentic emotional self. To be at one with ourselves, life, and others is a very spiritual experience. Not to be at one is a hellish experience. The state is where narcissism is born, and it's simple. Every act of abuse is born from emotional pain, fear, and a need to control. When we are at one, there's no need to take, harm, maim, manipulate, or lie. Narcissism is not a mental condition, it's a spiritual emotional condition. We've all been taught me versus you and survival of the fittest. Society's lack of authentic emotional training left us with a belief that it's weak to be authentic and real. A narcissist feels terrorized as a thought of vulnerability, being emotionally honest, and develops a pathological false self to guard the unresolved emotional wounds. So, I mean, it goes on and on. It's a really good article about narcissism. But it does say, you know, it could happen to anyone. If you begin to feel confused in love and have strange, vague feelings that something isn't right, don't simply rationalize and shake those feelings off. I did. I bought into the diversions, the excuses, and the cover-ups. It won't start off for you as a high-level, inappropriate behavior. Of course it doesn't, because you would never commit to the relationship if it did. Be aware, very aware, that if you feel uneasy or at times sense darkness or something's not right about your partner, investigate and look deeper. That's why it's very important to be level-headed during the dating period in order to create safeguards against narcissists. If a narcissist decides you're a target, he'll seek to enmesh you into a relationship quickly and powerfully. Level-headed women that take their time and aren't feeling the need to have all their love desires filled instantly by a knight in shining armor, wanting to be loved, safe, and adored. I want the loneliness to end. Even though I was powerful and together in so many aspects of my life, there was this gap and an insecurity for a narcissist to enter. If you're in a relationship with a true narcissist, by the time the personality disorder is obvious, you're hooked, empty, and exhausted. It happens bit by bit without you realizing, the powerless to create boundaries and protect yourself. You know, and I think that's a good point, don't you, Miss Day?
You know, that was as you were reading, that was the point that really drew my attention, what you just said. I think that's the highlight of the story. I think that puts a lot of things in a nutshell, especially my past experience that really led me to realize that my now ex was certainly, he certainly had narcissistic traits that made the relationship just completely miserable and very complicated.
Now, did you realize that early on?
No, I didn't. And I think his narcissism became, let's say, more concentrated or more, it just became more frequent. It just came out more as the marriage went on and as the marriage continued to become, as it grew closer and closer towards the divorce, it just became more and more, more concentrated behaviors, the narcissistic behaviors.
I know. And, you know, that's why I say these men are so tricky and they're so clever. You know, it says the narcissist has the inability to take responsibility for his bad feelings. For him to acknowledge he is down is terrifying and means admitting feelings of emptiness and powerlessness. Psychologically, this spells emotional and mental annihilation. The narcissist's false self is his survival, and quite literally, he'll lose everything in his life and even his physical life before giving up the desperate grip on maintaining the facade. Inevitably, his bad feelings are someone else's responsibility because he cannot claim these feelings as his own. I'm feeling bad, therefore it must be your fault. The bouts of battering and blaming other individual, often the love partner, continue until the narcissist has been able to mine another hit of narcissistic supply. The narcissist who has denied his true damaged self operates in two dimensions. One, pulling compliments and attention, even negative attention if positive attention is not forthcoming, to feel more important and worthy, or projecting anger and pain outside himself to the closest person or people. The projection is a psychological phenomenon whereby the narcissist will see his own disowned parts as the individual he is attacking, criticizing, demeaning, and abusing. The victim of the abuse will literally become to the narcissist all the aspects of himself that he is disgusted by. He will accuse this person of being inconsiderate, deceptive, uncaring, untrustworthy. The enemy within has become the enemy without. So whichever mood the narcissist is working through in order to feel healthy, the same criterion applies. The narcissist is incapable of sustaining his own energy. He has limited, if any, resources to supply his own good feelings and just a few resources to work through and transform his own bad feelings. It is always someone else's job. Can a narcissist survive on his own? The answer is no. Narcissists will seek narcissist supply. If a narcissist is forced to take time alone without supply, he'll become virtually suicidal and will put his pathological self to work and do anything in order to hook up with a source of supply again. The primary targets for this simple supply reside in the world in general, and the secondary source, which also supplies the depot for him to demean, discredit, and torment, are love partners. Inevitably, complaints, people pleasers, nice people who see the good in everyone, who have poor boundary function, are gravitated to as easy targets, especially if they have resources that the narcissist can mine, and our poor boundary function are gravitated to easy targets. Okay. So codependents make easy targets, and that's, you know, really important to understand that, because I think a lot of us become codependent. And it says complying codependents believe in unconditional love. that will tolerate being damaged and feel sorry for the other person, yet in reality, codependents are terrified about laying boundaries and taking control of their own lives. Boundary function is imperative protection against narcissistic individuals. Codependents love so much it hurts, whereas their self-development lies in learning to love themselves to stop the pain. When a codependent teams up with a narcissist, as many do, they will have their scant boundaries disintegrated and end up tolerating behavior and abuse they would have never thought they would. They will try again to prove their love, devotion, and loyalty to the narcissist all the way to their self-demise. Why is this exercise futile? Because the narcissist cannot accept themselves and have deep self-loathing and can't accept love, intimacy, and commitment from another, and are powerless to grant and sustain these commodities with another. It's an impossibility to give inner researches resources that simply don't exist. So I think that's a good point about codependent people, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it does go well together. And my ex-husband, they clearly brought up, you know, pictures in my mind of how things were in the relationship I had with my ex-husband. You know, I remember every time I would try to, you know, gather together the strength to get a divorce or to separate or move out for a while or things like that. I mean, it was like he sensed it. And he would, you know, use his behavior and say, well, you know, we're soulmates. You know, we're soulmates. You can't live without me. I can't live without you. Just be on and on, just trying that manipulation to promote a codependent, a very unhealthy codependent relationship between he and I. So that I can see how that definitely goes hand in hand.
It's interesting. It says that people with healthy and powerful boundaries and self-identity don't get taken in for long by narcissistic individuals because they have healthy limits. They know how to back up, and they will, and they won't put up with this in their life. Also, it says, you may have noted the word childish being used to describe narcissism. Narcissists are angry children in adult bodies. Numerology and astrology can reveal past life situations which have initially created the onset of narcissism. And right on cue, individuals with narcissistic configurations attract childhood conditions. But also it says, and I thought this is interesting about the art of manipulation, interestingly, narcissists are highly intelligent and extremely street cunning. They've been expertly hiding their damaged emotional self and navigating life with acute perception and mental analysis of their environment. Many narcissists know exactly how and when to appeal and what manipulative tactic is going to work best in which situation. High-level narcissists are incredibly intuitive, manipulative, criminally minded, and very dangerous. A narcissist can size up another individual and lure them into trust and ascertain their weaknesses very quickly. Narcissists will get close and encourage you to share your innermost thoughts and secrets. Narcissists work to a win-lose strategy, and the need for artificial energy taking for outside self is a bottomless pit. And they always feel, it says, that the world owes me. Many narcissists very loose and unaccountable life. Rules and regulations mean conforming to a society and being normal, and the narcissist is horrified about being non-unique. You know, it goes on and on. This is really a great article to sum up. If anybody would like it, just write to me at bondk@aol.com. I already sent it to you, Misty. But it does say healing from a narcissistic relationship, what you can do. If your relationship, present or past, was narcissistic, you can learn how to release torment and anguish, get relief, and create a new life where narcissistic individuals no longer affect your ability to create happiness, freedom, and joy. You know, and it says that you have to work back, you know, and like I say, it's narcissistic abuse recovery program here. But I think this is so interesting because, like, the comments that I'm reading here, you know, it says, wow, what a great article. I was married for 27 years in a fog trying to figure out what was wrong with me. He was always banged. Every few years I went into counseling but was instructed to try things that brought on even greater punishment. You know, I finally found a counselor who knew what was going on, planned a safe escape, left last year, divorced, and now moving on.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like there are many comments in this article. Unbelievable. I've been married for 12 years. We have two boys together. you know, they will say they are in line to sucker you back in and give you a heaping dose of the same miserable torment, leaving to learn to live again. Regain your self-esteem. Quit having the life sucked out of you. Everyone deserves happiness. You know, there's pages and pages of these kinds of comments. You know, I've been married to a narcissist for 30 years, 25 years, 27 years. So I think a lot of our women can really relate to this, don't you?
Absolutely. I think so many of our women put up with so much of this stuff dealing with a narcissistic personality type. It's horrible. I mean, it really is because, you know, it just creates so much of the drama and so much of the chaos because it allows the person dishing it out not to accept any responsibility for themselves. They blame any misfortune or any bad thing or anything to do with the relationship, anything at all, on someone else. You know, it's someone else's fault. It's not their fault. They just lack such a understanding, such an ability to take responsibility for their own actions.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Misty? I think tonight we said a really good, you know, few words to people to make them know that, you know, if you're living with someone like this, you are the same as millions of other women, but it doesn't mean you have to stay living like this.
Right.
You know, your needs have to come first. Your happiness has to come first. You weren't built to serve somebody else. I mean, if you find a partner or someone who can enhance your happiness, that's great. But you can't get someone who's going to depend on you for their happiness any more than you can depend on a man for your happiness, or otherwise it's going to be a codependent, destructive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. Happiness truly comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you have to work on. I have to work. I consider myself a healthy person, and I have to work on it every day. Most people do. It's, you know, it's something you just have to work on. You know, what brings me happiness? I have to, you know, figure that out, and I have to do some of those things that bring me happiness. It's an inside job. You know, it comes from, meaning it comes from within. You're going to find anyone externally. You know, people can enhance your life. Absolutely. You know, and you want to find that person that brings out the best in you, and you bring out the best in them. You know, it's an enhancement, but it's not a dependence. There's a huge difference between someone enhancing your life and you becoming dependent on someone for your happiness. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention several things before we go. First of all, for women who are, you know, interested, I'm having my healing weekend, the last weekend in September. We have some dynamite women who are going to be joining me. And I think Misty could attest to the fact how important live support is, that, you know, when we had our others, that it makes such a difference for the women who come. And just feeling supported and knowing that there's somebody out there who knows every feeling you're feeling without you having to say a second word or even breathe a word, that we all are in the same boat. And this
Absolutely.
Is a weekend in Philadelphia on that weekend. It's my annual East Coast weekend. And, you know, it's a very inexpensive trip. You know, it's just the hotel room and, you know, some of your food. You don't have to pay for the conference. This is my gift to you for, you know, going through this and helping you heal however I can. Also, next week we're going to have our wonderful friend Gail from Canada on our show as a guest. And
Wonderful.
We're really excited because Gail is a true hero to me personally and also to Misty.
Mm-hmm.
Gail was someone who never felt she could get out of this, and she did. You know, she'll talk about her journey to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And the following week, I'm really excited because Wendy is going to return to our show and talk about her lift. So, you know, Wendy is always, she said, well, why would you want me on again? I said, because people want to hear you again. People love listening
Absolutely.
To Wendy. Sure. You always get such wonderful feedback when she's on the show
mm-hmm.
because of honesty and her ability to make people understand her feelings and relate to what she's talking about. And
Absolutely.
Also, September 1st, I'm going to be getting together with women in New York. And if you're in the New York area, we're going to have a really great night with some really special guests. So please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll get the details for you. And I'll be going away with Jody, you know, my good friend from our support group who became my personal friend. We're going on a week's vacation and leaving from New York. So we'll be off that week, but, you know, until then we have some really great shows coming up. So, Miss B, we're going to really enjoy listening to your future, you know, as far as your love life evolving.
Now, this is
something we deserve and that we've been waiting for quite a long time.
It is.
But you know, everything has to be right in order for it to work, right?
It absolutely. And you know, for all those out there, it's when it's right, it's right, and you have that knowing. And you know, whatever becomes of this, so far it's right. And if it doesn't become right, it'll be reassessed. And you go from there.
Even if it's not right, at least you're having a great time with a straight man. And
Absolutely.
That counts, right?
Absolutely. It's so different. It's so uncomplicated. It's refreshing. It's wonderful. It really
mm-hmm.
is. And it's worthwhile. Yeah.
You deserve it, right?
Absolutely, I deserve it. We all deserve it. Absolutely.
We all deserve to be happy, to be loved, mm-hmm. and to feel like women. And that's
absolutely.
The bottom line. So
oh,
if you need our encouragement each week, we are there to encourage you to do what makes you, what will make you happiest of all, getting your life back. So, Misty, I'll let you say goodbye to everyone first.
Good night and love to all, and good night and love to you too, Bonnie.
And you too, Misty. Have a very wonderful week, and we'll be back here next week with our dear friend Gail from Canada. Good night, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night.